And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's the little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Visit DirecTV.com. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Monday, February 12th, 2024. I believe that was the date. I didn't see it. I'm J.E. Skeets here in the Classic Factory, and alongside me, as always, Tess Mellis.
Everything's a little blurry a day after the Super Bowl. Hey, podcast listeners, this is for you.
Next to him, it's the bearded one, Matasha Hot Boy, Trey Kirby.
Hey-o.
Hey-o. And last but not least, making the magic happen, super producer, J.D.
Hello.
There he is, and here we are on today's show. We got a brand new batch of NBA weekend winners and losers. I got a fun tweet of the night from the other side of the pond. And we'll sprinkle in some Super Bowl reactions. Get the guys' thoughts on Usher, the commercials, and the game. But first, WedgieTracker.com. Busy this weekend. Three more wedgies over the weekend. Friday night, Zion Williamson attacking the rim. Sticks one in LA. That was number 34. Then on Saturday, Cody Martin with a little floater. His second wedgie of the season. That's number 35 in Charlotte. Great camera work
they
there.
Really loved that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I couldn't even get it out.
Walk the other way on the court.
And then a little bit later on Saturday, Delano Banton in his debut there for the Blazers. Also sticks a wedgie. That's number 36. So 34, 35, 36. Lamar Hurd was great on the call, too.
Just
he's incredible. So unbelievable pace we are on.
Right.
Before the All-Star break, we might even have a couple more. I mean, we'd have to go check. Like, what's the most we've ever had by the All-Star break?
I didn't do the research, but you can tell guys are slacking a little bit with the wedgie numbers up. You know, this is the lull of the season. But to see a nice one like Zion Williamson attacking the rim and a wedgie, that's pretty cool.
That's cool.
Great.
We've had some good ones. Cool.
We're on pace for 58. Hopefully that keeps up. Okay, let's get into NBA weekend winners. Task, get us started. Who's your big winner?
I'm taking the Golden State Warriors because they're on a turn. There's a lot of positives for a lot of reasons. Draymond Green and his behavior is one of them. The guy is behaving. 10 games since he came back before Saturday's match against the Phoenix Suns. Zero technical fouls and zero flagrant fouls. Mm. Now, he got one against the Phoenix Suns because he thought he had an and one, so he argued about the call. But that's a good thing. You want Draymond to be angry. This team's defense has played a lot better. The fourth best defense in the last couple weeks. It's pretty incredible when you think about it that way. Yeah. He's done a lot of things. Obviously, there was some jabbing the first time that he faced Yusuf Nurkic. Since he punched him on Saturday there, Nurkic scored on Draymond Green, and he put his hand to the floor. Literally, you're too small, Draymond Green, and slapped the floor a couple times. I thought I was watching a football game. That didn't seem like a basketball move. And then Draymond goes the other way, puts his shoulder into Yusuf Nurkic, and hits a lefty hook. Not a punch, a left-handed hook shot over Yusuf Nurkic. Very nice stuff, but Draymond's doing a lot out there. I think it was more the handling, the scoring, the rebounding. He's just their energy. He's got to feel good. Like a few minutes left in this game, he lost Nurkic on a design play there with Jonathan Kuminga for an alley-oop. Then next play, dribble handoff, faked it, fooled Nurkic again with a crossover. Oh, hit a layup. Not long after that, Nurkic was off the floor. Green took a pass from Curry in the lane and dribbled past Durant for another layup. And then Steph Curry's game-winning shot,
wow.
Really, which was ridiculous, which was being inbounded as the Warriors were down one. Bradley Beal looked like he had an angle to steal it, so Brandon Podziemski put it even closer to the midway line, to the half-court line. Curry caught it with one arm, one hand, turned around, no dribble, to his right, banged home a three. call it a game. But in a lot of these instances, the last couple months, the Warriors get up late and then somehow lose the game.
Yeah.
On the other end, they try to inbound to Kevin Durant. Draymond Green gets in the way and deflects it. So that's game. And after the game, there's all this talk. Draymond Nurkic. And Curry said Draymond was in his head, plain and simple. And you got to go with that. I think it's true. They're back into the play-in tournament. The first time they've been there in a month. They sit in 10th to take in Utah's spot. Utah has traded some of their rotation players. So they're done. Golden State goes to visit them a couple times this week, and they play the Lakers. If the play-in tournament was today, they would play the Lakers.
Again.
The play-in starts today.
Wow. Wow. I mean, that's what you got to say. But they've got some injuries. Injuries are done there with Gary Payton II coming back, and this one he guarded everybody, yeah. All the big three, and he scored 5 buckets. So I think this is peak Warriors this season. I know it started off way better, but feels like a different team. Feels like them.
That was a fun game. I mean, yeah. It was one of the most competitive games this season. I would 21 lead changes. I saw 16 ties. No lead bigger than 7. So it was really, really close. And then, yeah, Curry. I saw Beal blamed it on his mask. His peripheral vision was brutal in the mask. Maybe at some point to
yeah,
it.
Sure.
But, yeah. Yeah, obviously you risked it. And, yeah, you don't of any guy to get sort of a little too cute with, like over-aggressive with. Oh, my God. He'd be last on the list. You don't want Curry to have the ball in his hands with a chance to hit a 30-footer to basically win the game. Boom. Cash. But yeah, it was a fun game.
That was pretty cool from Steph. I think he was impressed because at first he didn't celebrate. And then he, like, almost went into the big balls. And then he just decided to hit a squat. It's yeah. like he didn't know what he was actually going to be doing there because the play was even wild to him. And, yeah, what a pass by Pajemski. The perfect weight on it. I heard on the Hoop Collective podcast they were saying it was like he's a soccer player passing yeah. Curry open. You know, just throw it to a spot and let Steph Curry do a post move from half court
yeah.
and chuck one in. Just an incredible shot. In the 10 games since Draymond's been back, 7-3 for the Warriors. They've got a 1-point loss to the Kings, a 1-point double overtime loss to the Lakers, and an overtime loss to the Hawks. Jeez. Everything else has been wins. They look good, and that's why after the game, they asked Draymond what he learned from his suspension. When I play, we're really good. And he's completely right. He outplayed Nurkic completely in this one. Nurkic was just in bait mode, trying to get Draymond tossed. He did get the tech for complaining to the refs, but it felt to me like Draymond was on the absolute perfect edge
yes.
of where you got to be, where you're instigating with the other team, but you're not taking it too far. He got in Nurkic's head. Nurkic only had 6 points in this game, 6 rebounds, 4 assists. He was definitely more focused on the one-on-one matchup with Draymond Green, and Draymond was awesome in the fourth quarter, getting to the rim, finishing these shots, finding Kuminga for alley-oops. Kuminga's insertion into the starting lineup has been huge for the Warriors. They score in the paint all the time now because Kuminga is always there, whether it be alley-oops or bully ball stuff. That mm-hmm. was a problem for the Warriors with scoring inside. But now with him being reliable as an interior presence and Curry being found by Draymond all the time, they're looking good right now. 10th place, baby. Yeah, they win a lot more games to make it matter, but at least they're pointing the right direction.
Draymond Green is walking the line pretty perfectly. And if you think back to the Warriors in the good old days, he was toeing the line. He just wasn't crossing it like he has been the last few months or so. And it helps when Curry hits the game winner so we can all talk about the Warriors winning and then them holding it up on the other side because the conversation would be different because it has happened recently where they've been there right at the end but unable to win. Gary Payton II coming back helps. Chris Paul will come back and also help. And just that game-winning shot was ridiculous. Brandon Pajemski said after being asked post-game by Anthony Slater, he said, as he released it a little closer towards midcourt, he said, oh, shit. That's the way he put it, because he was a little worried that Bradley Beal was projecting forward. And Draymond Green actually was supposed to screen Bradley Beal to block him off. Yeah. He didn't. He allowed Bradley Beal to get in that lane. So I think the dialogue would be a lot different
if
Bradley Beal was able to steal that. And that was it. That wasn't a tie game. That was the shot for the win because they were down one. So
you can see Pods when he throws it, too. He's like, he jumps a little bit like, ooh, I may have thrown this a little bit out of the way. But it was not. And that guy keeps closing for Klay Thompson. And it wasn't a story at all for this one because the closing lineup looks good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. All right, let's keep it going. Trey, who do you have for a winner?
Got the Dallas Mavericks. They're on a 4-game win streak, including a 35-point win against the Thunder on Saturday. They also beat the Knicks Thursday in Madison Square Garden with none of their guys, and then Peege and Gaff show up on Saturday looking great. Mm-hmm. PJ Washington in his first game for the Mavericks, 14 points, 5 rebounds, 6 for 10 from the field, and he was already doing things that Grant Williams didn't do. There's a pass to the corner. He pump fakes, gets his guy in the air, drives to the lane, kicks it to Derek Jones Jr. He does the exact same, finds P.J. Washington for a dunk underneath the hoop. They're posting up P.J. Washington in mismatches. He had a couple of dunks. Grant Williams had 2 dunks the entire time he was with the Mavericks. And then Daniel Gafford was great, too. 19 points, 9 rebounds, and 4 dunks for him. Between the crowd and Mark Folwell, I thought I was watching prime Shaq the way they were talking about this guy. It was crazy. The crowd going insane. I think the first basket for both PJ Washington and Daniel Gafford was an alley-oop from Luka. Mm. So that's going to work. Yeah. I also liked what Daniel Gafford said post-game. He told Tim Cato, "It's amazing," said Gafford when asked about Luka Doncic, referring to him as the type of center he's wanted for years. He said he wanted a rim-running backup center. "Sorry, Dwight Powell, I guess you're not good enough," but Gafford continued, "A guy of Luka's caliber liking a guy like me? It just feels like I've never had that happen before. He's all that.
Wow.
It's a regular Rachel Lee Cook right now." But this was nice. Luka, 32 points, 9 of 14 from the field. Hit a bunch of threes, hit 10 free throws, 8 rebounds, 9 assists. It's also, I think, the first game that his daughter came to. Didn't wear a headband. He's got a master poof going on right now. And then Kyrie Irving has been great since he's been back from injury. 25 points, 6 rebounds, 8 assists. And the chemistry between Luka and the new guys looks like it's already there. Yeah. He's going to find you for an alley-oop if you're open. But it's even more important, I think, with Kyrie Irving, because there's going to be a lot of lineups where Kyrie is the main ball handler playing with bench guys, which means Washington will be out there quite a bit, and obviously Daniel Gafford will as well. So that's a weapon, certainly, for the Mavericks. 47 points they scored in the first quarter. They had 110 through 3 quarters against the Thunder, who are a top 10 defense in the league.
Yeah, they had 11 dunks from 6 different guys. That's a lot. That's nearing their record. It's Luka and Kyrie beyond the 3-point line and then a bunch of dunkers. So they've played it well so far. I mean, that first play with PJ Washington where he sets a pick for Luka on the right side and then goes flying to the left side, gets a back pick for that alley-oop was awesome.
Yeah.
That was really, really cool. If you can play beyond the 3-point line really well with Luka and Kyrie and then just have dunkers, the math holds up. It should be good. Lively, 7th in the league in dunks. Gafford, 8th in the league in dunks. There's a lot of dunks to be had there with those guys if they're playing really well in the perimeter.
And when you look at the Western Conference, we definitely have like tiers right now in terms of the win-loss records. Wolves, Clippers, Thunder, Nuggets. They're battling for the number one seed, 1 through 4 there. Then there's a bit of a gap to the Suns and the Pelicans and the Kings and the Mavericks, one of the teams you guys were just talking about. They're all within a game of each other, trying to just get into the playoffs. Obviously, the 5th and 6th seed are in. If you're 7th and 8th, you're playing in one of the playing games. And then those Golden State Warriors in 10th would be taking on the Lakers in a 9-10 matchup and have to win again to even get into the postseason. So it's just, it's wild. I mean, 7, 8, 9, 10 is Kings, Mavs, Lakers, Warriors. Some damn good players, and those are some good teams historically there. You know, the Kings, obviously, not maybe on the same level as those, but they were a great team last year, 3rd seed, I think, overall. So it's tight. It's tight in the West. It's very tight.
That's tight.
But great starts from P.J. Washington and Daniel Gafford. I'll keep it going here. I'm going to give Celtics Heat Fireworks a winner of the weekend.
Interesting.
Yeah, because we only had 2 games on Sunday because of the Super Bowl, and it was one of them, and it was sort of the marquee game. And it was a close game. Celtics won in the end, 110-106. They swept the season series for the first time against the Heat since 16-17. No Jimmy Butler for Miami. There was a death in his family, so he didn't play. And then the Heat, I mean, we could have probably just given them losers of the weekend. They had 2 more injuries. Terry Rozier, that looked bad. We're waiting to see the results of him, his MRI. And then Richardson as well with a shoulder. He had to leave the game. But the good from the Celtics, Tatum, nearly a triple-double, and Porzingis, man, this guy. I just watch Celtics games now, and I just go, well, the championship just all depends on Kristaps Porzingis. Because I feel like when he plays at this level, I think the Celtics are the favorites. You know, Nuggets fans are going to have something to say about that, I get it. But, man, he's so good. He had 25, 4th game in a row at 25+, 9 boards, 3 assists, 2 blocks. And Yeah, he just feels like the difference makers to the Celtics' chances of winning a title. But no love lost between Jalen Brown and Duncan Robinson. I know you guys saw this. Midway through the fourth quarter, two players get tangled up. Brown's sort of trying to like do the whole post-up thing on the perimeter. And Robinson's arm latches onto Brown, who then appears to like pull on it, and he sends sort of Duncan sort of flying into the stands a little bit. They exchanged words, you know, at the free throw line. Jalen Brown got assessed a flagrant one foul, but speaking after the game, Robinson called it dirty. He said, quote, "Just thought it was dangerous, unnecessary, and excessive." Brown, though, he laid the blame at Duncan's feet. Said, "He's the one locking me up. These guys, all they want to do is play tough, play hard, and then something like this happens. You know, they want to spin it around." So, yeah, I just like, I'm giving this a winner of the weekend because, you know, I like to see this, you know, sort of like Nurk and Draymond, I guess, a little animosity on a day where there's not a lot of basketball. It's good. Competitive juices are flowing, and the Celtics losing to the Heat last year in that weird series where they are down 3-0, win three straight, and then lose game seven.
That was weird.
So I don't know if we'll see these teams again this season. The way this season, I mean, the Heat feel snake-bitten at this point. But
might be a first-round matchup.
I guess it could be, yeah. Yeah. And again, no Jimmy changes the equation, but fun game.
Yeah, it's good to see Duncan Robinson like that because it seems like he didn't have that for a lot of his career, but now he seems a little testy, which was nice. It was a good performance by them without Jimmy because Caleb Martin came in there. They are starting to look a little more like the Heat, in all honesty. Not all the time, but the injuries are going to be big here.
Yeah, I mean, we could have some very bad news from Miami today. Like, Rozier, that did not look good, and Richardson with his shoulder. But we'll see. We'll see.
Double MRI happening today.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen too often
for each guy.
And they probably dodged a bullet with Duncan Robinson. Honestly, like, he definitely instigated the stuff with Jalen Brown, but Jalen Brown, I thought, kind of crossed the line, going Kelly Olynyk mode, ripping his arm out of the socket there. So a fair flagrant one, but lucky for the Heat that Duncan Robinson didn't have a shoulder injury on that one, because that was kind of nasty.
Yeah, and I know some Heat fans were like, where is anybody coming to the defense of Duncan? You know, we need Haslam's got to talk to these guys. So, you know, there wasn't really nothing. Usually you would see somebody go up and like, hey, come on. But it was really Duncan for himself there after they got locked up. I agree with you. He definitely instigated it.
Yeah.
He was holding on. But then Jalen had enough of it. And probably a little too much, yeah. It could have been bad. Like, I could be easily a popped out shoulder or something like that. But we'll give it a winner of the weekend because it was a good battle there in the marquee game on Sunday. Another round, Tass, what do you got?
I'm taking the Philadelphia 76ers. Maybe the Miami Heat needed Kyle Lowry's attitude to help out Duncan Robinson because the Philadelphia 76ers, their recent moves tell me they're optimistic Joel Embiid will come back. And they're going to make some sort of playoff run because they are absolutely going for it with their moves. They acquired Buddy Hield recently. And they traded away Patrick Beverley because they knew they were going to get Kyle Lowry in the clubhouse. I think it's an upgrade on Patrick Beverley in a couple ways. I know Kyle Lowry is sort of towards the end of his career, but he is playing defense all this season, averaging a steal, playing hard, 4 assists, 3.5 rebounds per game, shooting 38% from three, only 8 points per game. But those are basically the same numbers he had last year when he helped the Miami Heat get to the finals as their backup point guard. He did help. And the Sixers also traded away Jaden Springer, a 21-year-old who may be good later on, but he's just not that guy right now. So they go get Kyle Lowry because they are trying to win right now. So I will just attribute all these little moves. Obviously, it's all about Joel Embiid coming back, but I do think I think they go sort of hand in hand here. They are trying this season, and that's an upgrade. Kyle Lowry over Patrick Beverley. He's going to be playing a lot to also assist Tyrese Maxey, who will be making his first run into the playoffs as a primary ball handler. And we'll see what the buddy can do.
He had a good first game.
Yeah, he did.
I mean, he's playing the Wizards. That always helps on the schedule there. But 9-16 for Buddy, 4 threes made, 5 boards, 6 assists, 4 steals for Buddy, doing a little bit of everything. Mm-hmm. So along with him and Maxey, like they, again, it's against Washington, so who cares, but at least they needed a win, Philadelphia, because they'd sort of been sliding there because of the Embiid injury.
Needed a win, and they need Buddy to shoot three-pointers. He's taken 21 in 2 games with the 76ers, started both of the games. Philadelphia is 27th in three-point rate, so whether Embiid comes back or not, they need somebody to just chuck threes, and Buddy doesn't think twice about it. The guy's a very quick decision-maker because the decision is, I'm shooting it.
Yeah. Doesn't he hold the record for the fastest three-point shot in a game in history?
So. Yeah, like right off the tip, man.
Just tipped to him and he shot a three. Because his dad had told him. Wasn't that the whole story?
Yeah, I think you're right.
Gotta be more aggressive,
totally
son.
Right,
shot it right away. All right. So
Lowry, though, hasn't played in like a month, man.
Yeah.
Beverly's been better this season.
Just because
Delta ass tour, dog.
just because he does a little bit out there doesn't mean he's
better.
Yeah,
he does more out there. That doesn't mean he's better.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't score as much as Kyle Lowry.
Then why did the Heat get rid of Lowry?
Math,
okay.
Yeah, fair enough. They had to go.
Why didn't they play him then?
They played him a lot.
No, they didn't. He hasn't played since January.
He had a brutal stretch.
Yeah, he had a bad five-game stretch. Yeah. But the entire stats are better than Patrick Beverley's. The guy helped them get to the finals. They need to move on.
But you like you like this, the buddy thing, the Kyle thing, whatever, because you see it as Morey and the Sixers organization realizing Embiid is likely coming back. That means we're like going to sort of continue to go all in on this season.
Yeah, he's going to be looked at in 3 weeks. That bodes well. But the Philadelphia 76ers need somebody who can shoot the three. Patrick Beverley can't do that all that well. Kyle Lowry can. And so he's going to help out. I mean, I don't know how much Joel Embiid will be able to do when he gets back. But I'm assuming, just assuming, the way they're working the fringes here, that he will be.
Yeah.
That he'll be back. Hopefully. And I want to answer from Kyle Lowry, actually, because I've got a puzzle I'm still puzzled by. Because last year I was at the finals after game two. I was on the floor, and I saw him with a towel around his waist go upstairs to do an interview. Right. And I'm just puzzled, did he shower after the game? Because he had a towel on, waist down, and a tight black tank top that looked like it was his undershirt for his for his jersey. But I'm still puzzled. Did he take a shower and after then put a towel on and have put a tight tank top on?
You wouldn't think so.
No. So he probably dropped his shorts, maybe his underwear, put a towel on,
and went and did it.
Just very interested. It has a towel that had an elastic top, so he was very secure. But it's a puzzle that's always puzzled me. I can't wait to find out.
Well, hopefully.
Did he shower? Did Kyle shower?
Trey, who else do you have for a winner?
Well, I got Patrick Beverley's Milwaukee Bucks as a winner. They ended a three-game losing streak with a 44-point win against the Hornets. It's the Hornets. But, you know, they didn't mess around. They went out and got Doc Rivers his first home win, and it was the Patrick Beverley experience to the full. First time he touched the ball three-pointer from the corner. He was coaching in the huddle.
Yep.
He's organizing guys defensively. He is pressuring the ball when they're up 30, giving them the scraptivity. Post-game, he's wearing a Bucks hat, and he's got a Miller Lite. That's a beer that started being made in Milwaukee. Great stuff. He also said post-game, "I ain't gonna lie. I didn't want to meet the Nuggets in my first game," Beverly said. "Okay, cool. Let me see what's going on with Charlotte. Let me get my routine under me." He literally is like,
"Oh my God.
I came back just to beat up on the Hornets because I knew it was going to be an easy game." And guess what? It was. It was so easy that Thanasis Antetokounmpo got to play in this game, and he hit a Sham God and a Smitty on the same play. They're calling it the Sham Zeus.
Oh, boy.
That's ridiculous, man.
It was sick, though.
The Hornets should pack it up.
Yeah, no doubt.
Sorry.
You lost the Nut Nest Bowl with that play right there, maybe. Because that
maybe
was
so.
Crazy.
Maybe so. Was that on JT Thor?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes,
I think Thor got dumped on by Giannis, then he got spun into the ground by Thanasi.
Yeah. Oof. That was an incredible highlight.
He was funny. Patrick was funny. Getting into people, got the chest, playing defense, getting into people's ways. When you gave Brooke Lopez a spiel in the huddles, like telling him what to do, Brooke was like, "Okay, I'm done with you. Can I move on here?" But he did good things on the floor. He was Patrick.
It's exactly what they need, honestly. Like
need
you
defense.
Talked about it when the deal went down and they got him at the deadline. It was like this is a team that's obviously done this a couple times now, and you need like that sort of crazy guy to come in here and like sort of spark everything and wake everybody up. And yeah, maybe it's annoying at times, but he obviously has an impact on results too. So yeah, good start. Good starts for a lot of these guys, honestly, in most of their debuts for a lot of them. Mm-hmm. Moving on, Lakers. They're a winner of the weekend. Friday night, they blew out the Pelicans 139-122. They had 51 second quarter points. That tied the franchise record for most points scored in a quarter set in 2014. 51. They had like 87 at the half. The Pelicans had 74 points at the half and were down big. It was just a weird game. All five Lakers starters in that game scored at least 20 points. D'Angelo Russell, game high 30, 5 assists. Reeves had 27. LeBron, 21. He had 14 assists. Rui had 21 on 9-13 shooting, and Anthony Davis had 26-6 on 7-11 shooting. According to Statitudes, the last team to have all five starters record a 20-point game was the Orlando Magic on January 26th, 1993. So you know what that means. It's time for box score trivia. Can you name... Well, we'll just do the Magic. Can you name the five starters for the Orlando Magic in 1993's win where they had all five guys score over 20 points?
Shaq.
Penny. Shaq had 26. No Penny.
Nah, he wasn't drafted until the next summer.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
Dennis Scott.
No.
Nick Anderson.
That's right. Drafted. Nick Anderson had 20. You got three other guys.
That's the hard part.
Yeah, I think one of them's gettable. And then I think two get a little more difficult. I'll give you some hints, but I want you to get the third guy.
Daryl Armstrong? No.
No, no. Steve Kerr was on the bench, by the way.
Scott Skiles?
There you go.
Yeah.
9 of 15 shooting, 22 points, 11 assists, 7
Scott
boards.
Skiles,
good game.
Nick Anderson, Dennis Scott.
No Dennis Scott. So you got three guys.
So we need the three.
Shaq,
the four.
Nick, and Scott. Yeah, you need. You basically need sort of more of a 2-3 guy, and then a big guy. Get the big guy first. I'll give you a hint. White guy. Same initials, first and last name. He was an announcer.
Tolbert.
There you go. Nice pull. Yeah. Tom Tolbert. 24-16 in this game.
He scored 24 points in a single game.
He played 43 minutes.
That's crazy to me.
One more. This is the toughest guy. Because I was like, who is this
Tom
guy?
Tom Tolbert.
I was like, I vaguely remember him. He was, what can I tell you about this guy? Okay. Well, he shares the same last name as a guy that infamously was drafted in the Jordan draft.
Bowie?
Anthony Bowie.
Yeah. I don't know what else to give you for that.
Oh, tough one.
I was going to guess Donald Royal.
Would you have known he played in Italy a couple years? Because he did. There it is.
I don't think
so. You guys called it. You got there. Shaq, Nick Anderson, Scott Skiles, Tom Tolbert, and Bowie. A.B. or Boo, as he goes by on Basketball Reference. Anyway, sticking with the Lakers, they're also a winner because they got free agent guard Spencer Dinwiddie. He has signed with the Lakers after clearing waivers on Saturday. Pelinka said, quote, his playmaking and aggressiveness from the guard position provides a valuable depth as we continue our strong push toward the back half of the season. In case you didn't know what Dinwiddie was doing this year, he was playing for the Nets, averaged about 13 points per game.
In case you didn't know what he's been up to?
Yeah, he's shooting not great. The shot has sort of disappeared here. He was 32% from three, so hopefully that goes up for the Lakers. And six assists a game. But he's going to make approximately $1.5 million for the remainder of the season because the Lakers were able to offer slightly more than the prorated veterans minimum by adding additional salary saved when Gabe Vincent signed at less than the full mid-level exception.
Huge.
So they got Dinwiddie here. Obviously, he can play, and he's going to get an opportunity. And he'll probably look better, you know, playing for a team like, obviously, led by LeBron and AD, and he'll just be more of a piece.
Yeah, it's interesting. His little run here after being traded from the Nets, released by the Raptors, went and hung out with the Mavericks and then yep. Mark Cuban. Then he went and hung out with Rob Pelinka,
yep.
And that's who reeled him in. I just kind of wonder if the Mavs wanted to get him back, but I suppose not. They just want depth.
They may have, but I think the money was the difference maker here.
and he's been to Southern California.
And his hometown. That's right.
Yeah. And I think more of an opportunity with the Lakers than he would have with Dallas. And Dallas, you know who's handling the ball. It's Luka 90% of the time, and it's Kyrie the other 10% of the time. But Dinwiddie dude shoot 40% from three playing with the Mavericks when he was there. That's really, really good.
Yep.
And if you're a Lakers fan, you got to be a little bit encouraged because now Dinwiddie's going to be playing with awesome players again. He's just going to need to basically be in the D'Angelo Russell spot, but Russell wants to play from the outside. Dinwiddie drives the ball quite a bit, but man, I definitely feel like this is a Ramon Sessions type of move where you're like, oh man, all the Lakers need is a ball handler. He takes them to the next level. Then you're like, wait a second, it's Spencer Dinwiddie. Yeah. Wait a second, it's Ramon Sessions. There's reasons these guys are available. They're not the top of the pops, but he'll be a helpful guy. And I think better for him and the Lakers than with the Mavericks, just because more opportunity for Spence.
Yeah, D'Angelo Russell has been absolutely balling. He's been on another planet. If you look back to those Mavericks days, he definitely was off the ball and was able to hit some game winners and hit some big shots. So I bring up Russell and Reeves at the same time because if Spencer is around and just ready to shoot, It's a good guy to have for the three-point shot, especially because they have so many freaking injuries. I don't think Gabe Vincent is coming back at all. It sure feels that way. So it's nice to have the depth there. And I just saw this announcement as the Warriors were supposed to play are playing in Utah tonight. Steve Kerr will not coach as he's going to Serbia to be there for ceremonies for Dejan Milojevic's services. Well, he will not be around.
So he's traveling over there. Okay, yeah. There you go. Well, we're going to take a break. Those are our winners of the weekend. We're going to give the Cavs some love, so don't you worry in the next block. But when we come back, some Super Bowl talk and our losers of the weekend.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Outdoor outfits. That one always always makes me go, huh? What? Isn't it also an indoor outfit? I mean, I guess a jacket. I mean, do I consider a jacket just an outdoor outfit? Never thought about it that way.
For me, I instantly think rain gear.
Yeah. Something for the water. Maybe. maybe you're fishing.
Yeah. Sure. I guess, yeah, nature. you're never fishing indoors. Well, unless I'm in that one Bass Pro Shop where that guy got nude and jumped in.
He needed an outdoor outfit.
Uh-huh. He just needed an outfit, man.
Yes, any outfit would have been
especially
good.
That guy.
I always think snowboarding or skiing, outdoor outfit.
That's a good one, too.
Sure.
Snow pants.
Look, they like the alliteration.
They do.
Selling
they do.
Scented soap or offering outdoor outfits. That's what they're going for.
Yeah, man.
Trying to trip us up. Last night, guys, the Chiefs beat the 49ers 25-22. Oh, boy. We had five quarters, basically.
Five quarters of football.
It's our first repeat champ since the 04-05 Patriots. And KC has now won three of the last five Super Bowls. Dynasty?
They said we're not done.
Damn. Mahomes picked up his third Super Bowl MVP, tying him with
Joe Montana.
That's right, with three, and Brady's got five. Anyway, what would you think of the game?
The overtime confused me. As we were sitting there, as time was ticking down, we were all saying, why is he calling timeout? Why aren't they calling timeout?
Tony Romo was trying to tell us why, and then the game ended.
Never mind, it's over.
Yeah, what an odd telling. Because he told us the rules of overtime before, and then we heard the other rules at 10 seconds left.
Yeah.
Hey, and for all you at home asking, why aren't they calling a timeout? This is just the first quarter. Of other courts.
I guess my counter is, why is there a clock then? We don't need
no
it.
Reason for a clock, actually.
I don't think there is.
No,
because they would just,
people would be too freaked out playing without a clock.
Anyway. It would be weird.
Anyway. Strange ending, though.
That was cool. They won.
can't give Pat two chances to win the game.
No,
come on.
No. It was...
Pat.
My good friend Pat.
Hold on. There's a... If they both score, both teams get a possession. If they both score a touchdown, at the end of the quarter, it's 7-7. So you could, as the clock ticks down, I guess it's still sudden death anyways, right?
Yeah,
it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter in regular
season. That's why we're all thinking it matters.
Of course.
Right, but they did say after when overtime started, this is a whole new game.
Yeah.
That's what the referee
said.
But
he forgot to tell the part that happened at the end with the, we would play a second quarter, basically, if this is if they still have the ball.
So it's just odd because Tony Romo, who's great on calling everything, was talking about that. And a touchdown.
It's like, game's over, bye. And everybody just left the party right away because the game was like, 4.5 hours long.
It was a long guy right there.
JD, you watched every snap?
Every second of the game.
Wow.
I watched. Didn't see all the commercials, but I watched the halftime show and the whole game.
Okay, well, let's get your reactions to Usher and the halftime performance.
I loved it.
Yep.
I didn't recognize as many songs as I thought of. I would. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, because, you know.
He's got a big catalog.
There was a time when we were debating going to see him in Vegas, and some one of you were like, oh, don't worry, you'll recognize a lot of his songs. And I'd be like, I don't think so. And I was correct. But I did recognize the main bangers.
Yeah, the bangers. Yeah,
yeah. Big pop-off in this house when Ludacris shows up.
Oh, yeah.
I think in every house, really.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love compared with was it Rihanna last year? Who?
Yes.
Yeah. So she was on the rafters. She was descending pregnant. From yep. the sky. Mm-hmm. Usher right on the field. Right on the field. Which I liked.
On the grass.
Yeah, like on the grass.
Yeah, like Beyonce style.
Yeah.
I was almost starting to get like, because it was for a little bit at the beginning, and I'm like, there's gonna be a stage,
yeah,
right? Like,
yeah.
I'm like, is he just doing this on the grass the entire time? Obviously, no. Made his way up to the.
Hey man, it's like R&B. It's slow burn, man. You start slow, and then you get into it.
Yeah.
Yes. And then the guests start coming in. Then it's all of a sudden Starlight Express with the roller skates.
With the roller skates, yeah. That was
That's
cool.
a deep cut. Sorry, guys.
Yeah.
I loved it. It was great.
Big fan.
It was good. It was definitely good. Usher can sing and dance. I was surprised that there was a time like during the whole thing where he took like every second line off. It wasn't the lyrics that the crowd would be singing. He was just... guest,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was the unfortunate part. I think maybe you didn't recognize every song, JD, because he wasn't singing them.
That's fair.
Or he was singing like one line from a song and then we were going on to another
one.
Yeah.
This one in.
Yeah.
He jammed them all in.
I want more singing from my singer. Why was he not singing?
I know what you mean.
Professionally singing, he hit beautiful high notes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I was just a little surprised why he took
beautiful high notes.
Every second.
You're right. I think he's just tired.
He was dripping in sweat.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, that's what Nora has seen him perform in Vegas.
Yeah.
Did she? Did Laura and Danielle go too? Yeah.
They did, yes.
And they were. I remember Nora's like, oh yeah, he sweats like a mother. Like it's like Patrick Ewing style. Like, but then I was like, she's like brilliant though, because during his show in Vegas, he's just wiping himself down with towel after towel, chucking them into the crowd. People going nuts for them.
Yeah.
So
nowhere to chuck those towels.
No.
Hit a tuba player or something. I like that too. I like the marching band was there. I mean,
yeah,
I
nice.
Don't know if they were actually playing by the end there, but I don't know. I love that shit.
Yeah, and we had Alicia Keys, Jermaine Dupri, in a funny outfit, looking like Draymond Green in an award show, and Little John.
Her,
right? Good call.
Yeah. Alicia, Will I Am.
Yeah,
he was there.
Yeah, he was in his weird like helmet
there.
Mask.
He was wearing the Apple Vision Pro.
Oh, that's who that was.
Yeah, you didn't know.
I didn't know.
Okay, so yeah, I think like I don't think people are going to be greatest halftime show ever, but it's going to probably be fairly high on most people's list. Top 10, I think. I don't know.
It's a good production.
I mean,
for sure.
To be fair, you're never gonna touch Prince. So
no.
It will never ever be done.
Wow. He's calling it. And this guy hates Prince.
I don't hate Prince.
Oh, well.
I just think he's slightly over.
Oh, you're saying he'll never be beat when it comes to a halftime.
I mean, I'm not saying he's not excellent and maybe not the best. I'm just saying he might be slightly overrated.
Okay.
That's all.
Okay. Did anyone have a favorite commercial?
I like when Ken Jeong was on the massage chair.
What was that for?
Popeyes finally has wings. I liked the M&M Almost Winners commercial.
Yeah.
But here's every Super Bowl commercial. We hired a celebrity to be in the Super Bowl commercial for 30 seconds, but guess what? We ordered a second celebrity, only in it for 10 seconds.
Right. Sometimes
Wait
a third.
It.
Sometimes a third at the end. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you have a favorite, JD? I know you said you didn't.
I had a problem with the Popeyes one. I would have liked it a lot better if it was not a current guy. That was the weird thing to me. Like, Ken Jeong is a guy who's alive today, and it's Ken Jeong today. He was funny in it. It was a good commercial, but put
Lou Ferrigno.
Lou Ferrigno, perfect.
Okay. Somebody who was, like, super popular in the 70s.
Or even earlier, you know, like Humphrey Bogart. Like, we have the technology.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But it was fine. I thought everybody has this on the lowest, but I liked the Eric Andre Dr. Stick.
Oh yeah, that was
it was
good.
Very weird.
I mean,
but
it was classic weird.
Classic weird.
Yeah. It was actually good, though, because it did, like, feel different. Because a lot of them,
yeah.
Like, Trey's right. There's such a formula, especially totally. With the celebrity aspect. It's like, okay. It's
to
like,
the point where you're almost like, okay, where's the second guy? Where's the second totally. Person? Who's going to be in this one?
I think most people were high on the Dunkin' Donuts commercial,
good.
Which was very funny.
Damon was the best part of that.
Yeah.
And it was cringe, but it was supposed to be cringe. Yeah. So, yeah, I'll allow it.
We popped. It was, maybe it was because it was early in the game. The Kawasaki commercial was actually
yeah,
with the
we liked it.
Stone Cold. Yeah. Yeah, that was good.
That was a big one in the house.
Totally.
Michael Cera, I guess, was sort
Sarah
of
was good.
Funny.
Good and weird. Yeah.
Good and weird.
I liked it. All
right. There it is.
Yeah. People are loving your idea for a Humphrey Bogart commercial next year.
A hologram.
A hologram.
He's looking
of
at
Bogart.
You, wings.
Yeah.
Right?
If you have Humphrey Bogart saying, well, they're chicken from Popeyes. That's already the best commercial.
Very weird.
All right. Any other thoughts on the Super Bowl before we move on? Yeah, anything?
Hey, man, just like Usher's show, it got better as the night went on.
It did.
Yeah, it ended up being a classic Super Bowl.
And the first half stunk.
Yeah.
It was not good.
Boring.
It was very boring.
Save it.
And then Usher, yeah, I was like, okay, great. And then it got going. You're right. It was got more entertaining. I had a big night for me with the squares.
Oh, man, was squared up.
I was winning every quarter. I'm like, oh, I got that one. Oh, I got that one.
I was laughing because I was heated the whole time I was there. I was like, I got five. When's five ever going to come up? That was the final score. I was like, wait a second here. But of course, the guy who set up the squares won the final one. Interesting.
That's true. It's
interesting.
True. Yeah. One. We're on to you, man. We're on to you. All right, let's get to some NBA weekend losers. Tass, who do you got? Get us started here.
I'm going to give Taylor Swift the loser,
what?
Not Taylor Swift. But the way that the first half of the Super Bowl happened, it felt like to me, after watching the Puppy Bowl, where Taylor sniffed a great dog. She would have won.
Oh, there we go.
She would have won MVP if the Super Bowl just kept on going as crappy as it did start. But afterwards, you know, Travis Clossy and Taylor sniffed. These are two characters in the Puppy Bowl. These are two characters in the Puppy Bowl. Taylor Swift was great.
Don't stop talking to like they have an IMDb page.
Yeah, they do. They're bigger celebrities than any of us. They're in the damn Puppy Bowl.
They're in the Super Bowl. Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah, they were great.
Why is Taylor Swift a loser, though?
Because Taylor Swift would have won MVP.
Oh, my God.
She would have won MVP of the day. She would have. We had no idea. We were sitting there watching the Super Bowl, and we were thinking at halftime, even in the third quarter, who's going to win MVP?
It's true.
Good.
It's true.
The punter with good punts? The guy with long hair? That was who we were.
He was
hoofing him out there.
Great foot. You know a great pause? Taylor Swift did. Not that guy. Anyway. Whatever. I just wanted to say Taylor Swift. Okay. It's a funny name.
It's kind of surprising they didn't name the other one Travis Smelsey.
Mm.
That's just me. That's just me.
Yeah. Yeah. Sat around a table and they wondered, what's the best pun for Kelsey? And you're right. Smelsey.
Clossy.
Yeah. It's forced. Yeah. Smelsey is good. I guess they wanted a K.
These are the same people who are putting Ken Jeong in a current Unfrozen Man commercial. These are advertising people.
Did you see the graphic, by the way? Can you put the photo back up?
Yeah.
Puppy Bowl 20. Like, it's crazy.
That's amazing.
It's a long
man.
Time.
It's amazing.
Like somebody said at the party last night, it's like, oh, they should start like showing us like the classics over the last 20 years. But then we were like, oh, we might have to do some like in memoriam work and stuff like that because it's a long time for a dog.
Yeah.
It's like
they're all dead.
You think so?
Sure, to be a bummer, but from
from
Puppy Boy Ball,
Puppy
Ball
1?
Yeah, 100%.
I mean, the CTE alone.
Jeez.
Right.
All right. What a fascinating NBA weekend loser, yeah. Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift. They've gotten better, though. The Puppy Bowls have gotten a lot better. They moved out of halftime.
Like the level of play.
No, they actually
offenses is a lot more sophisticated.
No, they eliminated the level of play. They don't care about the level of play anymore. The dogs will take the field. It's edited. It's entirely edited.
Yes.
It's not live.
It's not live.
So they may run the field once, and then in comes their replacements. So it's funny in that way. It's, you know, you don't have to see any of the bad things. And it was used to be the halftime show.
That is true. So now it's pregame, right? Like it happens before. Yeah,
it happens way before. But is there anything else going on 4.5 hours before the Super Bowl?
No. Basketball games. Yeah, that's true. This guy's watching Taylor Swift.
That's a good point. I didn't even know what Taylor Swift did out there, but I just like the name. Well, as I was watching.
Okay, let's go to basketball. TK, do you have anything? Any losers that jumped out to you?
Well...
Oh boy.
Sorry, man.
No. I do feel like it was kind of hard to find NBA weekend losers, so sorry to the Houston Rockets. They went 0-2 over the weekend. They lost to the Raptors and Hawks. Two teams you should beat one of them if you're trying to stay in the play-in mix. They've lost four straight now. They've only won two of their last eight games, and they're 8-12 in 2024, which has dropped them to 12th in the Western Conference, three games back of 10. Of the 10 seed, which is play-in tournament. They made no moves at the trade deadline. They did the Steven Adams thing. That's more for next year, but we know Ime Udoka was asking for some reinforcements to try and help them make a play-in push. Nothing came, and next thing you know, Jeff Green is playing tons and tons of minutes for your team. Yeah. No Şengün against the Hawks. Tari Eason is also out, so it was like Jeff Green and Jock Landale were their big guys. In related news, the Hawks had 5 dunks in the first quarter, 11 for the game. It got pretty close in the fourth quarter, but DeJounte Murray and Sadiq Bey really closed the door. If you're looking for a bit of a silver lining as a Rockets fan, Jalen Green had his first triple-double against the Hawks, 26 points, 14 boards, and 10 assists. Jeff Green, 19 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists. You can actually convince yourself that Jeff Green is Jalen Green's uncle.
Yeah, sure.
Right? Like,
sure.
Age difference, same last name. Everybody calls him Uncle Jeff.
Maybe he's a real uncle.
And I'll give a stealth winner to the Hawks. They've won 6 of their last 8, and our guy Kobe Bufkin got 16 minutes against the Rockets.
Yeah.
3 points.
Yeah, that's all right. Got in there. You're going to go see him play. I don't know if he'll play, but the Hawks play tonight.
I'll be there tonight.
Bulls-Hawks?
Bulls-Hawks.
Okay.
Yeah, play in preview, baby.
Down at the Fortress. TK, all right. I love it.
Bring him in.
I would like to give a weekend loser to the Raptors pizza party plans. What do I mean by that? Well, in early December, I've said this before, Raptors coach Darko Rajakovic, he decided to get creative. He promised a reward to his players, who are professional basketball players, if they went on a winning streak, he would go and pay for dinner. He said, once we get 3 wins in a row, I'm taking players and staff to dinner, and it's going to be out of my pocket. Okay, we clarified that. So it's not going to be on the Raptors. It's going to be out of Darko's wallet. The Raptors had a chance on the weekend to finally get that elusive third straight win, and they got punked by the Cavaliers. So the Raptors have now won 2 straight games 4 times this season, but again, they can't get that third win in a row, and the Cavs have spoiled their pizza party plans twice now. Ooh. Yes, the Cavs twice have done it when you include this one on Saturday, but the Cavaliers, man, season high 9 games win streak, 17 of 18 I believe they've won. And they just smacked Toronto here. 119-95. Jared Allen, huge. 18-15. Mobley, 17-11. They blew the game open in the second quarter with a 21-4 run. Up 20 at the half. No problems in the second half. This team is... I mean, this... I always say this at some point during the regular season. This team would love for the playoffs to start right now because they are playing their best basketball. And, they dashed... The Raps' chances of I just like to pretend it's a pizza party for some reason. And they all have like little birthday hats on and stuff like that. I'm sure it's a nice steak dinner if they ever get to 3, but Cleveland said no.
Yeah, the thing I like about Cleveland is Evan Mobley is shooting the 3 a little bit more since he came back. 4 attempts in this one. There's been a few games where he's had multiple attempts. So they can live like the previous version of these Cleveland Cavaliers before he came back where they were just shooting the 3 over and over and over again, and Dean Wade took his spot and helped stretch the floor. Obviously, Evan Mobley was in consideration for Defensive Player of the Year last year. He's going to be awesome on that end, but I like the expansion of his game. But the Raptors, it's a little depressing, but at the same time, what all those moves were about for Obagi and Kelly Olynyk, and we'll get Spencer and release him, they're all about these next 30, 35 games to see what Emmanuel quickly can do with Scotty Barnes. I think that's what this whole thing is about, is just to see what we're going to do in the offseason, because we're going to see who are our main parts, our pillars will Emmanuel quickly be a pillar? And sometimes they're good. You know, that Rocket game was good, and obviously the Cavs are just too damn good.
Yeah, so. Agbaji and Olynyk, they did play as the newcomers there in Toronto. They both played all right. Agbaji, 8 points in 20 minutes. Kelly Olynyk, 11 points in 22 minutes. But they're obviously going to see time, but Cleveland is just such a better team than the Raptors. And, yeah, no pizza. Lots of leftover pizza from our party last night. Maybe Dave can send them some. Hey, Darko, you want to get a whole pie here? He always overorders, but that's fine. You got it. You have to do that. You can't do the opposite.
I feel like extreme pizza choices from Grisham last
night. Oh, he went nuts, didn't he?
I couldn't just, like, there's one plain cheese pizza, fine for the kids.
Yeah.
But then everything else was, like, a specialty. It looked like one of them had a Carcosa on it.
Yeah, that's right.
Nobody
no one
wanted
was touching
to eat that
it.
One, like, ugh.
Yeah.
Carcosa.
Yeah.
And, like, a big spiral.
Big spiral.
Pesto spiral.
Yeah.
Just get a pepperoni, dog.
Totally. I had to re-look into one box thinking, there's got to be a regular pizza around here. I repeat multiple times. There's eggplant on another one.
Oh, that one's good, though.
Fried eggplant?
That is good.
I did like it.
Yeah, definitely. But,
definitely. It's just a reg.
Yeah, you're looking for conservative pizzas here. These were progressive pizzas.
Well, good thing, like, there was somebody came with, like, straight up, like, I don't know, wraps or something like that.
Straight up wraps.
Yeah. So there was a whole other thing. If you didn't even want pizza, then a million sides, of course. And then those new, what were those things that you were getting everybody to try?
It's the Doritos Dynamites or Dynamitas or whatever they're called.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, there's a few different flavors. Those ones, they're like the taquitos of them.
Yeah.
They look like veggie sticks, but they're sort of, you know, they got lots of seasoning. There's a hot honey one, which are really good, I think, a little bit better.
Last night's were like the chili lime or something like that? So they were?
Yeah. I forget.
Yeah.
That was the Jenna Ortega commercial, I think.
Yeah.
Jenna Ortega,
I took home that mustard bag, and I ate way too many of
those
them
ones,
last night.
Those
that
ones
is
are good.
Not a thing you want to eat 5/6 of the bag worth. But, man, Doritos... They're food science engineers. They know what they're doing, man. You put one Dorito product in your mouth, you want to eat 50,000 other Dorito products. Too addicting.
I want to see Bogart eating those next year. I don't know how. Let's get him. Get
Humphrey
Bogart.
Got the technology, JD says. We have some news here from this morning. Just quickly, Woj tweeted out that Charlotte Hornets president of basketball operations, Mitch Kupchak, is stepping down to become an organizational advisor, clearing the way for the franchise to begin an immediate search for a new head of basketball ops. We sort of saw this one coming. We were like, Mitch is not going to be there all that long, and here he is now moving out of the way, new ownership there. They're going to try and find someone they want. There's a lot of names on the list of a possibility who will take over this role, but Mitch Kupchak moving over.
And he did an okay job at his last trade deadline. Basically, like, honestly doing business and kind of undoing all of the deals he had done previously and getting the books in order for whoever the next guy is that comes in to take over this job. This is a team that can look completely different by the start of next season. Yeah. They got two guys that we know they're keeping. Even the coach will be a question mark. He basically disses his team every single night. They go out. He's like, these guys cannot play defense. And I'm trying, man. I'm trying my best. Everybody can score 16 points. It's easy. Steve Clifford, blessings upon him for the rest of the season, because it's going to be ugly.
Yeah.
That's literally what Steve Clifford says. You're right. After every game.
Every game.
That team has more talent. He literally says that. Yeah, ours does not.
The Hornets did win over the weekend. They beat the Grizzlies.
Yep.
So that helped. But yeah, we will see who takes over there. What was Kupchak there? Like six seasons?
It's been a while.
This was season number 6 for him, yeah.
Not the greatest of runs, I think. He would even admit. But, at least these look, the Brandon Miller, obviously, draft pick looks huge. They've got LaMelo. They got some more draft picks at this deadline. So they'll lean into that, and we'll see who takes over that head job.
Spring is the best time to add new challenges to your training just in time for those warm summer days. Pool season's coming soon, so I've been hitting the weights with Peloton and my guy Adrian Williams, trying to get my muscle on in order to expand my cannonball splash radius. Peloton's varying class lengths were designed with your training plan in mind. It's easy to personalize your workout. Whether you'd like to add a 10-minute core session at the end of your strength class, or take a 60-minute power zone ride to increase your endurance, Peloton classes are designed to help focus on your needs and goals. There are a variety of classes like boot camps, boxing, full body strength, or marathon training, all created to grow your skills or push you to improve in what you already excel in. And their expert coaches and nonstop vibes will push you to new levels of strength and endurance, keeping you on your toes while giving you the professional coaching you need. Shout out to Adrian Aditi, Andy, and Emma. I love you all so much. Whether you prefer to run outdoors, row or ride at home, or strength train at the gym, Peloton has everything you need to get you where you're going. Get your head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com. I gotta get something off my chest. Nothing drives me crazier than sending a message to a group chat and getting no response. That's why I'm a big emoji responder. Love a hang loose hand or a salute, but man, it hurts when you send a message and get nothing back. Ouch! We all carry around different stressors, big and small. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. Therapy isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/NoDunks today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/NoDunks. This episode of No Dunks is brought to you by BetterHelp.
Okay, before we go, let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Tweet of the Night's interesting because I was sharing some of those wedgies that we had over the weekend as we started this show, and a fan of the show, at Brendan, 775-189-90, he said, and shared a photo here, we'll show everyone on YouTube, in not very similar circumstances, I managed a wedgie in our local park in Manchester, UK today. Only being 6 foot tall, I had to go get a tree branch to get it out. And he shared the pic, and this is why it's Tweet of the Night. Look at this backboard!
That's just crazy.
I have never seen a backboard like this in my life. I had a lot of people from the UK when I said that, when I retweeted it with that comment, saying, yeah, there are backboards like this on a lot of parks in the UK. And it's like a sewer grate.
Yeah.
Is the best way, I think, to describe it to the podcast listener.
Yeah.
It's... I can't believe this is a backboard. Like, this would do... Your ball would last like 3 weeks playing on this. Like, it would just shred it. Or maybe you just never go glass. I don't know. But yeah, this caught me by surprise, so I wanted to share it.
Yeah, that grate looks extremely tough. The ball would get roughed up.
Yeah!
It is weird. I thought it looked exactly like the fence below it, but it's not quite exactly like the fence, because the grate is just... thick, although the fence is thinner in a grid form.
And you do see parks like that, especially in Europe, like where it has that's like a soccer net there, right? Like sort of built underneath the backboard. But no, I just have never seen a backboard like that.
It does look like the hoop is very close to the borders here. Like you might be getting checked into the crossbar. There's a crossbar apparently for the football goal.
Someone said, imagine kids like that are like, you know, trying to learn how to dunk and stuff like that, like getting up above the rim or around the rim. Like, how many fingers are you going to break? Like getting caught in this backboard if you're going to block people and stuff like that. Dangerous.
That looks weird.
Yeah. But anyway.
Steph Curry's just said that a wedgie ball got dented. Right?
Yeah.
Those would get dented.
Yeah.
Those would take some lumps.
So anyway, apparently they're... in a decent number of parks in the UK. But thanks to Brendan for bringing that to my attention, to your attention. And we will call it there. This is All-Star Week.
Yeah.
Which is really weird to say aloud because we just had the deadline and maybe because of the Super Bowl. I don't know. But we are here for a couple shows. We all head to Indianapolis on Thursday. We have our live show on Friday. And then obviously the festivities there on Saturday. We're going to be in a big football stadium, the Lucas Oil Stadium.
Mm.
See what that's like. Hope the Wi-Fi's good. Because we might be doing a podcast late on Saturday night. Hopefully live, if technology allows us to do that. So anyway, we'll be here for most of the week, though. And then we'll head off and have a bunch of shows sort of over the weekend. So make sure you subscribe. Make sure you hit the like button. Make sure you leave your boys a 5-star rating and review. Lots of games on tonight because only two on because of the Super Bowl yesterday. So tons of games on tonight. We'll be back tomorrow at 10 a.m. Eastern to break them all down. Till then, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, we just wanted to give a quick shout out to Bismack Biyombo and his 7'6" wingspan, signed with OKC.
They got their center.
They did. Nice move. Nice pickup. He's been good with the Grizz this season.
Brace the day, people.